I guess, the primary reason why everybody is here. Okay, Peggy, would you please read the public notice on the hearing for local law number 2?
Please take notice that for the purpose of adopting a codification of local laws, ordinances, and certain resolutions of the Village of Athens, said codification to be known as the Code of the Village of Athens, a public hearing will be held by the Board of Trustees in the Clerk's Office at the Municipal Building in the Village of Athens on the 25th day of March 2015 at 6:30 p.m. to consider the enactment of the proposed local law described and summarized below. Proposed local law number 2-2015, a local law to provide for the codification of the local laws, ordinances, and certain resolutions of the Village of Athens into a municipal code to be designated the Code of the Village of Athens. Copies of the local law described above and the code proposed for adoption thereby are on file in the Village Office of the Village Clerk of the Village of Athens, where the same are available for public inspection during regular office hours. Please take further notice that all interested persons will be given an opportunity to be heard on said proposed local law at the place and time aforesaid.
Thank you. You have some handouts that reference this, and there's been material on the website and so on. The most applicable document that I have up there for you is called Schedule A. And its subtitle is Specific Revisions at the Time of the Adoption of the Code. This process has been going on for, I don't know, 2-3 years at least. And if you include the zoning, it's probably been going on for 5 or 6 years. So we're all pretty tired of it. We all want to get it over with. And the controversial and the complex parts of it have pretty much already been adopted. But there's a lot of confusion, a lot of misinformation out there that have made this part of it far more controversial than it really should be. Basically, what we're doing is taking a bunch of scattered laws that have been passed since the last time this was done in 1995, and we're getting them printed so that they're all in one book. And that so they can all be online electronically, so each of you can go online and do your research wherever you want to. And it's going to be set up in an easy manner so you can reference things and search for things and so on. However, when we're going through all this stuff, like I say, for a couple of years, there were instances where we wanted to make some changes as well in the code. A lot of the changes in the code are strictly things that evolved from new state regulations and terminology. For example, there's a repeated use of the word ordinance in the old code. Well, the word ordinance is no longer in use in village government practice. It's been strictly removed from use in village government. So now we have laws, but we don't have ordinances. So repeatedly, you'll see that wording removed. Sometimes, some of these laws in here date back 1940 or so. Maybe they were revised. One of the ones I've heard the most about is this curfew law, which the original law was 1942. So, and then there was parts of it added at different times and so on. We didn't add anything to it, really, that I remember.
No, the only thing we did.
I don't think we added it. We took one word. We took one part out, which is silly. There was a section in there that said that the fire alarm was going to be blown at 9 o'clock every day, so all the little boys and girls could be home in bed on time, and so on and so forth. Well, people grabbed that, and they immediately thought it was our idea. We were getting rid of it. We weren't putting it in there. So, I mean, those are the kinds of things that I'm trying to counteract. And you know, maybe we missed something in there that is more controversial than we realize. We'd be glad to listen to you about it. But for the most part, all the major changes are in this Schedule A. All the minor changes, they didn't bother, they'll show you in the code, but they don't bother to print them up separately because they're meaningless, really. So, and that's the way it is. I mean, we can't just willy-nilly change every single law in here and throw it into a big pile and have the four people that are, four or five people at the table vote on it. It's not the way it works. So, but we can take certain areas that we felt needed a refining, needed adjustment, needed new wording, and that's what Schedule A is all about. So now it's up to you folks, it's your hearing, go ahead. Rob?
I fully understand what's going on here. You're cleaning it up, you're not changing anything. These are laws that already exist, you're just fine-tuning them. I get that. I just have a couple sections I want to mention. I'm just going to mention, I don't need a response after each section, and you can just take them or whatever. And the section 184-2, the noise restricted. I think 9 p.m. at night is a little early. I mean, I could see 10, but in the middle of summer, it's still light out at 9 o'clock. In Chapter 201, Article 1, Use and Maintenance, Section C, Rubbish and Garbage Dumpsters. Garbage cans must be stored out of sight. Does that mean they have to be stored, they just can't be stored at the sidewalk, or the 6 days that they're not being picked up, they have to be stored out of sight? Whether they're 50 feet or 100 feet off the road, they still have to be out of sight. I guess that's a question there. Then Section E, under the same thing, the length of the grass, I think the state is 10, and this says 6.
I will take a moment and comment on that. Some of the trustees didn't feel comfortable with that either. The reason I put it in there is because 6 becomes 8, becomes 10 before you know it. But I think there's a consensus here on the board that we're going to go back to the wording with the state on that one.
Same part, section in G, the dumpsters, the construction dumpsters.
Is this saying that you have, if you're going to do demolition on your own property, whether you're putting the construction dumpster on your property or the public road, that you have to get permission from the code enforcer for that? It's a little
what
confusing.
What chapter was that, Ron?
That was 201-19B. Was under the 201 streets and sidewalks.
813.
Yeah, it's on sheet 813. J, the trimming of overhanging trees and branches. What if this is, I get it's the homeowner's responsibility, but what if it's a tree that 20 years ago was planted by the village and the homeowner was opposed to the tree being there in the first place? Should they be held responsible to trim that tree?
Well, in general, if it's in the village right away, the village will trim the tree automatically.
All right, so if it's fixed in front of the sidewalk, it's village.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
Okay.
And sometimes we slope, there's some trees leaning over into the village right away, and we want to make sure that the tree is healthy and so on. Right. We'll go out and cut it.
That's all I have.
All right, thank you.
Comments. Thanks.
Next, April.
Your question on your noise, who does that pertain to? Your noise restrictions, or who is it going to pertain to?
I'm not sure.
If a person privately has a wedding, okay, and you've got them restricted for 9 o'clock, and then the Riverside Festival goes until 11 o'clock, is there going to be any favoritism there? Or any kind of discrimination where that goes?
Well, outside entertainment, generally, you would get an outside entertainment permit, and that would set if you needed to be, we're pretty flexible on that, so if you needed to have a 10 p.m. closing, that's what we give you under the permit. The street festival, like it or not, is kind of off limits on all these things. We let a lot of things slide with the street festival.
So, yeah, well, the
and
thing
in some places, the code specifically says the street festival is not affected by that. Well, I don't remember about this one.
Okay, because my question would be is if there's no limit to what they can do, what about the ones who pay taxes, who are in the same area as the Riverside Festival would be? Are you going to place a restriction on them also, or is? Are you going to allow them kind of relaxation too?
Well, as I mentioned, the outdoor entertainment permit systems, they're pretty lenient for the most part. It's just when things go on, you know, night after night and people aren't considerate of the neighbors, you know, then we start to have a problem.
Okay, and then your fence, you got a thing of 6 feet? It's where it says 6 feet as far as the height is on a fence? Okay, nobody sells goods at 6 feet in length. So that could be a costly.
6 feet height, isn't it?
Yeah. Pardon? Yeah.
Height.
6 feet height.
Yeah, a height of 6 feet.
That's
so if you're building a fence, nobody's gonna. They're either gonna specialize cut lumber to meet that 6 feet.
No, all fences are 6 feet, pretty much.
Most of my, I've seen are 8 foot.
Yeah, and then you put 2 feet in the ground. Your 6 feet.
Yeah.
Your upright might be a piece, 8 foot piece of lumber, yeah. But the height of the fence usually is 8 to 10.
The height of a fence is 6 foot. Most of them are 6 foot, 6x8.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, some of this, the planning board, whoever's going to review it, has to look at what's available. I mean, for example, deer jump over 6 feet, so. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some flexibility in that. One area that's probably maybe needs some rethinking by the planning board is the corners, which are restricted to 4. But the reason that's in there, I don't mean to get on a tangent, but the reason that's in there is that around this village, we're getting to a point where you walk down the street, you can't look in anybody's yard, you can't see anything. There's nothing but a wall of fences. I'm not sure that's the look we want throughout the village. It just kind of isolates people and keeps them from talking to the neighbors or seeing their neighbors or whatever. Anybody else? Ralph?
Yes, I'd like to comment and ask a couple questions on this. Chapter 131 with the Fairfield. It says here, Article 1 minor, Section 131-1 is amended as it is. I'm not quite sure what I know what amended means here. Are you only saying this amended as you struck out the last sentence that said the village fire siren will be sounded 15 minutes before you're out 9 p.m.? That's the only amendment to that?
I don't remember anything else.
Okay. Does the village of Athens have some type of special thing within the state of New York whereby they can make whatever laws they want regarding curfews? And I'm addressing this to our attorney because I'm just curious.
When you say special, I don't understand.
Well, everything I've read in the state of New York, most cities, towns, villages that have, not all have curfew laws, the ones that do, it usually states 11 p.m. on weekdays, midnight on weekends, number one. Many of them state 17 years and younger. So I'm just curious. I never realized we here in Athens had a 9 o'clock curfew. So first of all, I'm wondering how that's going to be actually enforced, in what manner. I never heard much about it in the past. But I'd like to just quote a couple things about curfew laws, if I may. In recent years, a number of juvenile curfew laws have been challenged on the grounds that the laws violate the First Amendment and other guarantees provided under the U.S. and state constitutions. Most curfew laws are typically enacted at the state and local level and prohibit people of a certain age, usually 18 or younger, from being in a public place during certain hours. In most cases in New York State, it's been between 11 p.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays and 12 midnight on weekends. So I'm just asking where the 9 o'clock in Athens is coming from.
Yeah, you asked your grandfather probably, because that's when it was done. We haven't touched that in years.
But aren't you concerned about that? In the face of the challenges that have been made to these curfews, have you ever heard of a case that's gotten a lot of attention in recent years? It's not new, but it goes back to 2006. Anonymous versus the city of Rochester, New York.
I haven't heard of that.
You're not familiar with that. Well,
let me ask you, was that a court of appeals case?
That went to the appellate state court of appeals. Yes.
So the appellate division for Rochester is the fourth department, we're the third department. So that case would be informational for us, but it wouldn't be binding for us. I'll take a look at it, but yeah.
Okay, my point, I guess, is simply this. There are, and again, I didn't print every page, hundreds of pages of things I read about curfew laws in the state of New York that dealt with every county, every town, every village. But everything seemed to indicate that there's been many challenges to curfew laws. And I'm asking this board and you, if you're not concerned with that, how you're going to enforce that. Or do you intend to enforce it more than in the past? I guess I'm just...
Enforcement, I'll have to leave to the board and to the police department. I that's not something that I would get involved in. But as far as the constitutional challenge is concerned, no, that does not concern me.
Lawsuits don't concern me.
Let me finish my sentence. I don't believe that any lawsuit that would be brought here would be successful in challenging this law. I believe that it is constitutional. And obviously you don't want to get sued, but you can't live your life in fear of being sued.
And let me just take a moment and say that this is a public hearing in which you are here to comment on the local law. It is not a question and answer period. We try to answer your questions where we can, but we're not going to get into a combative situation here. So, state your comments and then let somebody else take the floor, please.
Well, that was only my intent. That was only my intent to state comments. And again, If I may, I've got one more thing to say. And this is from talking to various people about this particular 131 curfew law. And the general consensus from what I've gotten, and I guess I think I have a right to say this, since you said it's a comment period. And I would just like to say this. The general consensus of the people that I've spoken with have said this to me, and I've agreed. Athens doesn't have a serious problem with children in our village. Our mayor has a serious problem with the fact that children exist within the village of Athens. That was a comment.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question about that curfew law.
Sure.
Would the board consider changing the age to 16 and raising the time limit to 11 o'clock, because in today's marketplace, a lot of these children are out working. Okay, they may be working at McDonald's, or they may be working at one of the other stores or whatever, and they'd be on their way home, probably being anywhere from 9 to 10 o'clock at night, considering that Walmart, as an example, is open 24 hours a day. But the 16-year-olds can't work that late. But they, what we can do is be accommodating to them. And seeing that maybe 18 is too high.
As a point of information, excuse me, it says unless the employment of such minor person makes it necessary to be upon such street, etc. So I would say that the law as written takes care of your concern.
No, it does not, because the reason says is you're going to stop every 16-year-old, 16-year-old, you're going to stop them on the street, I guarantee it. If you're going to enforce the law, you're going to stop them. And that's going to become a real issue with the parents. So that's why I was asking, would the board consider changing the law to 16 years of age,
yep,
and changing it to 11 o'clock. I think that's more of a reasonable accommodation. All right, that's something to consider. I was just asking as a consideration to the board.
16
and 11. Yeah, we will consider, but don't forget that the intent is not to go out and enforce this.
Hopefully not.
I mean, just the police aren't going to ride around, and if they see an adolescent on the street, they're not going to stop them. It's just having a law on the books in case, if we start getting complaints because the same group of people are hanging out, creating problems late at night, you need a law to enforce it. I don't think there's any intent for anyone to go out and, you know, stop a person just because they're walking home at night.
Yeah.
So that's where the enforcement part
is. If you say 16, then, you know, they're out there, what are they doing there?
Okay,
Mr.
Hi. Just want to, my comment is that, okay, we can revise the law that's been on the books since 1946, my grandfather's dead or whatever. It's 2015, these age 18, whatever, can vote, sign up in the Army. We have music in the park on Friday nights that go beyond 9 o'clock. I just, how are you going to enforce it or not? You know, that can be subjective. I don't know. I just would like the board to review this and bring it into the 21st century.
I mean, I would just quickly, without giving a lot of thought and digesting your comments, I mean, I would not have any problem getting rid of it altogether.
Well, that would be great.
I mean, I got to talk to the police because the police see it as a tool here and there for certain situations. Mm. And once a year, of course, and that's in a separate section. Halloween is necessary on Halloween, believe me. So, anyways, another comment, please. Back, Owen?
Yes, I view this this proposed code as not as benign as being described here. I think it's incredibly restrictive. Actually, without precedent, so far as I can tell, within the Hudson Valley, and there is no indication to me exactly who determines what's enforceable and when. I think the overall feeling, message to people who live here, as well as people who might live here, businesses that do exist here or might exist here, is not very welcoming. And given the fact that this election, Mr. Mayor, has hardly shown that you have a mandate and that there's clearly a lot of divisiveness on this issue, I propose that what to me is a hasty attempt to turn this into law, that we take a little more time and throw it out all together, or at least take more time for people to really digest what's in here. The letter of what is enforceable and what's and who decides what to enforce is very much an issue here. And so, any rate, I think this thing is moving too quickly, and I do not think that just because pieces of this have been in the books before is a reason to pass it right now.
I agree. Any other comments?
The most important thing to me is the quality of life in the village of Athens. And I have been here quite a while, and I'm impressed with this board and this administration as having good intentions in that direction. And it engenders a great deal of trust in those goals. So, I thank you for that. And to the extent that this law is an effort in that direction, I'm generally, in principle, in support of it. Problems, of course there are problems. One of them is that there have been laws in the village for a long time, and they're not regarded. People need to have a certain basic respect for each other. If this is a way of encouraging people and setting some kind of standard for mutual respect in this community, I'm for it. There have been laws which, regardless of their intent, don't get enforced. There's been some talk about, and I have no partiality, nothing personal about this, there's been some talk about not enforcing curfew. We've had dog laws for a long time that also don't get enforced. The owners don't respect the other people in the village enough not to let their dogs out and do their business. So you can have this big complicated law. I hope that it works towards people having some communal respect for each other. There's one specific thing, it's very minor, but if I may, the one about the cutting to 6 inches on roadsides. There are some people who cultivate and take care of those spaces in front of their houses. And I'm one of them, and I have yucca, bee balm, obedience plant, iris, coneflower, daisies, an elm tree. All of those are more than 6 inches. And if there's some way that you could possibly make some distinction between neglect and careful cultivation, I'd appreciate it, and I think some other people would too. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can I say one thing about this whole thing?
No. Can I just finish up with him and I'll be right with you?
Okay, fine.
The language in the state law on property maintenance that Mr. Alberti brought to our attention and that I think we're leaning towards, it says, all noxious weeds shall be prohibited. Weeds shall be defined as all grasses, annual plants, other than trees and shrubs. However, this term shall not include cultivated flowers and gardens. Anyway.
Okay.
Next. You know, you got all of these laws. If you don't enforce them, they're not worth the paper they're written on. All right? That's a fact. If you don't enforce them, all right, then this is what happens. You end up at a meeting and you have to try to codify the laws, and they're not being enforced. All right, and that's, I'm hearing the complaints here that they're not being enforced. Somebody's enforcing it for them, not enforcing it for them. The rule of the code of law should be that it applies to everybody that's in the village, not just to specific people. Right? And we have to abide by them and obey the law. That's the way it is. I'm sure the attorney would agree with that. All right? But I, you know, there's a lot of factions going on here that I'm hearing. Nobebody's talking to each other. They're just laying it out.
Brendan, do you have something?
I did have a concern about the noise restrictions. It's on section B. It says audible at a distance of 50 feet beyond the property line of the premises upon which it's being used between the hours of 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. There's a large amount of properties on side streets where the lot size is only 33 by 100. Mm-hmm. So an alarm clock would be audible two houses down. I mean, I think that's kind of... page A10. I mean, this room is approximately 50 feet and voices are audible. So, I mean, I'd just like to know what that means. You can hear a lawnmower or a chainsaw 3-4 blocks away, so I mean it's...
Okay. We can look at that. It's almost impossible to enforce any noise ordinance to begin with. They're on the books for the extreme situations, but we'll take a look at that. Next, Nora.
Yes. Thank you for changing my title from door warden to door control officer. I'm glad you didn't call me a bitch. But there are some things in these laws, and I'll talk these sections 107 that refers to things that really have nothing to do with Athens. It talks about holding a dog for 5 days. It talks about euthanizing dogs. We have nothing to do with holding a dog for 5 days. We have nothing to do with euthanizing dogs. We bring a dog to the Humane Society. They do not euthanize dogs. So this really does not give a clear, dog shall be euthanized, you know, I mean, no. I mean, it should reflect, you know, I'd like it to reflect the real situation.
Stricken. Yes.
But I also, a second thought I've had is I always think that there should be a book called Everything You Wanted to Know About Living in the Village of Athens, But Were Afraid to Ask. And without all this stuff that, you know, the legal stuff, but with some basic things that people don't know about, and also that people can give to people they rent their houses to, so that when people come here for the weekends or whatever, they understand some things, because people come in, they don't know. And there's no way, you know, I mean, it would be a way to educate people. Maybe it could go out to everybody, and then people who do rent could be responsible for letting their tenants know about certain things, not every little nook and cranny in this thing, but some basic things about being considerate neighbors with each other. So,
well, a lot of it, our relationship with each other and people coming in here is common sense. And,
well, there's plenty of people here who do not have common sense. So we can't assume that people have common sense.
That's right.
But generally, the laws in one village is similar to the laws in another village. So it doesn't mean somebody can come in here and rob the bank.
No, but I think it's a good idea to reinforce some things that make it livable in our village, just to remind people, and things that people may not be aware of, you know. Like I said, a little handbook that what to do if you're, you know, if you want to sell your house, who do you have to go to? Not every single detail, but a little out, who should you talk to? Or if you have a dog, what to do? Or whatever else things. Basic things, not a complex, boring legal thing like this. So, thank you.
And I just want to add to that, Chris, because we don't have a facility that retains the dogs or keeps dogs. Okay, that would need to be readjusted.
Yes, that I just said.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You take it to the pound if they, that's what I would
But say. They don't get, even when we take them there, they don't get euthanized. We take them to the Humane Society. They do not euthanize a dog unless there's like some extreme situation.
Right. But it would give them authorization if it got into that. First of all, you in particular, do everything you can to get the dog back to the owner.
Of course.
I mean, you spend hours trying to find the owners of these dogs. So, I mean, that's the first thing we do. We don't want to get involved in anything else. It's too complex, and it doesn't help anything. So.
Right, but I do not hold on to it for 5 days. I bring him to the Humane Society, and the Humane Society holds on to it, and if it doesn't get claimed at the Humane Society within a certain amount of time, and it goes up for adoption. But unless it has a health problem or is really a seriously demented creature, it will not be euthanized.
I think this language came out of the state law, didn't it? Agricultural markets law. So we basically copied it out.
Okay, well, but it doesn't really reflect our situation, so I don't want to scare people.
Thank you. I got Jackie and then Marla.
Yeah, I just had actually the question. I need to ask the question, but in the section, it says 2015, I'm reading section A12. It says here, section 2015 is amended to add the phrase skateboard, inline skates, and roller skates there too. So my question is, does that mean that they will not be able to use a skateboard in the village? Or roller blades or inline skates at all?
Sidewalk.
Yeah, if I remember, it's
a big
about
way.
Sidewalk.
He's sitting there by itself, and I don't see where it's amended to.
Without reading it in depth, I mean, I think we're just talking about a sidewalk, so you can't obstruct somebody else's progress on a sidewalk.
Because I just catch children on my way home, you know, on the side of the street on their skateboards, and being in the healthcare profession, we don't want children sitting in front of a television set or playing video games all the time. We want to see them out in the street exercising on a skateboard or, I mean, nobody really uses inline skates or roller skates anymore, but if it's a new fad again someday, it'd be nice to see children out physically active rather than, you know, there's all kinds of obesity problems all over the country, and I'd rather see the kids out on a skateboard, whether they're on the sidewalk or, I mean,
who read that over again?
Do we want them in the street either? I think
you're just trying to keep people from...
You want them on the street to exercise, but you want them in bed by 9 o'clock.
Well, that's healthy probably. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a curfew law.
Comment is Marla.
Yeah. I actually have two questions. As for the codes, I'm in full support that they need to be changed because they are ancient, but my question is, why isn't the board reviewing and making amendments to the current laws before they're adding laws when we're not even enforcing some of the laws that are already there? Why don't they start with...
I think that's what we are doing. Is making.
But you're amendments. Adding things to it.
Well,
why aren't we just...
very minor.
Okay. And my second question, this was a while ago, so I'm sorry if I quote you wrong on this.
Yep.
April had made a comment over the fence, and you had made a comment about... you go through the village and everybody's got fences in the yard, and this isn't the look we are going for. Who's we? Who's we? Because I would love a fence in my yard.
Well, first of all, we're talking about fences.
I know, but you said this isn't the look we, this village is going for. That's like a... you're speaking for other people.
Well, I'm speaking for the historic district and the standards that have been set in that district over the years.
I know, but I mean, I live in the historic district. Do you think a thing about my house is historic, Chris? You've been inside and outside my house.
Well, it is historic. It's an 1847.
Well, it is, but does it look that way?
I renovated it.
That's what I'm saying. But when you go in my house, you think it's renovated historically.
Well, I don't know. I've never been invited in your house.
Chris, I bought my house from you. You've been in it. You know what's in my house.
I've never been in your house.
Never?
I've been in the kitchen. That's as far as I've ever been in your house.
Okay, you've never been in my house.
The point is that I think if you took 100 people and you said, is it conducive to neighborly atmosphere to have 8-foot fence, 6-foot fences going up and down the street, the majority of people would say, yeah, no, that's kind of a friendly gesture. We'd like to see people talking to each other, people communicating off the porches and so on. I mean,
I know, but no, you have a fence. You have a fence. You have a beautiful fence. Your yard's fenced in.
Yeah, I have my fence fenced in for one reason. You know what that is. Mm. The deer. I would tear down every fence and probably have saved $20,000 over the years if I didn't have deer.
I just was curious what you meant by we. That's all I wanted to know.
That's one of the laws that should have been changed. Yes. Mm-hmm. Listen,
we all have
the
deer.
I guess the
issue is that they're taking with the fence is not everybody has a fence. Not everybody wants a fence. So what is the issue? They pay their taxes. It's their property. And it's not like you're going down the street and seeing every single person that has a fence. And another issue is that if you don't have a fence and people are constantly looking at your yard, I don't have a fence in my yard, but people have issue with what I have in my front yard, and it's not offensive, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's well maintained, but people still have a problem with it. And it's everybody is in everybody's business. And the thing is if everybody would just let everybody do whatever they want on their own property in a certain parameter of respect and of landscape wise, then anybody should be able to have a fence. Not everybody's gonna have a fence, not everybody wants a fence, so they should be able to have it how high they want.
Let me just stop for a second here. A lot of you people I know, I think Peggy probably knows, but Peggy has to keep a record of who says what,
yes,
or at least try to. So
what's your first
please state your name
Shannon
and
Spinner.
Your address Thanks. And so on.
You need my address?
Well, as long as you're in the village of Athens.
I think most people don't need no address.
She knows directly where they're talking about because it's my property.
Oh,
I just
go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Mike Siciliano. I love this village. It's just a sleepy little village. My issue is what time the village wants me to go to sleep. Okay, 9 o'clock at night, I don't go to sleep. I don't know where that 9 o'clock figure came from. To me, it seems like the village's vendetta against one location, because there's only one location outside of the park that has entertainment on the weekends. Now, if I saw 50 complaints that the music was too loud, guess what? It's going to be loud before 9 o'clock as it is after 9 o'clock. But we're bringing people into the village. I do mortgages for a living. I've gotten 15 people's houses in Kasaki who now wish they lived in Athens because it's becoming a little cultural center. How could we possibly stop at 9 o'clock? Like, say, when the Stewart House and the brewery serves food to 10 o'clock. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. I'd like to see this community thrive more, get more people coming. More people come here, more people that want to live here. You know, and, from a real estate standpoint and a cultural standpoint, music is a good thing for people.
Well, I'm not sure I understand your reference to the curfew law, because it really has nothing to do.
Well, you know, it seems like there's some kind of vendetta about the Stewart House. I got a traffic ticket for going 42 miles an hour on Friday night, okay, from Bank of Kasaki to the church, okay, church parking lot. Two state troopers were in there. It's about 250 feet. I said, you know what, if I was speeding, I deserve a ticket, and I don't speed in the village. So I floored my car from in front of the bank to where the two troopers were. And I didn't hit more than 35 miles an hour, completely floored. They waited till I got out of the village before they gave me a ticket. So I think there's something going on against the local establishments here. You know, I just don't want everything to leave this town. Give us a reason to stay. I want it.
Nothing came from this office or this police department, as far as I know. So if you think that's the case, I'd be glad to meet with you. But it's nothing coming out of my office. Rick?
With the noise restriction, is that pertaining to commercial and, Rick Serrano, 41 North Franklin Street. Is that still with commercial and residential considered as the 9 o'clock curfew, or the 9 o'clock the 9 o'clock time ordinance, or is it 11 o'clock time ordinance for the outside entertainment law?
Well, it's outside. It's still the outside.
Is it still going to fall under?
It's going to rule. You know,
okay.
Whatever we agreed to there, that's what your time's going to be. I'm not sure. Let's see.
I mean, I've only ever had two complainants on, three complainants on the noise. One was yourself, one was Herman Reinhold, and then the other one was Charlie. And we do what we can do. I know people like to hear the encores, and if they play one more song, I get it. You know, that I was brought up in a musical family. That's what they do. I've been to many of concerts in my day, and they play one more song as an encore. I agree. I understand your law of 11 o'clock. I have no issue with that. But I think when we start getting complaints at 11:03, we're nitpicking. Now we're really starting to nitpick it a little bit too much. You know, this we have at the storehouse.
You know where I live.
I know exactly where you live.
I can hear that music up there when you guys crank it up, like it was right next door. Now, Mr. Reinhold and Mr. D'Agostino, I mean, they're even a lot closer.
Right.
I don't think I've ever been unreasonable.
I don't believe that you've been unreasonable. I will say this. We are a seasonal business. I am the general manager of the storehouse. We are a seasonal business who thrive on 3 months of the year of having our bands on Friday nights and Saturday nights, and this is how we make our money to make it through the winter. Without that, we're lucky to have stayed open this winter because we did well with the music that we had last year. We were able to save money and put aside to employ local kids and local people in this community jobs. At this point, we are currently have 5. And as soon as summer gets here, we'll be up as high as 10 to 12. So what we what we thrive on and what we depend on is the local people supporting the local bands, which they do. My main thing is that we've had the 1103. When 1103 comes around, I get this. And you don't know how many times I got in a fight with Herman Reinhold about it. You just don't. Looking at his clock, I know Herman, it's 1102 and a half. I understand, I get it. This is the last song, I promise. And it always is. And I will always make an announcement to the band if they are too loud. You know, can you just turn it down a hair? And we've gone as far as this year is bringing more acoustic acts rather than amplified music. And we've made every stride to put up sound protection. And unfortunately, it was destroyed. And now I'll have to be rebuilding that after these windstorms. The last couple windstorms snapped some of our soundboards in half. But regardless, you know, the storehouse depends on these 3 months. And I think right now, we are the only business besides the new deli that just opened up down the road on the river who look forward to outdoor music. I mean, I am also on the APAC committee, which the storehouse will make money from, and so will the deli. So I think, and we always follow the guidelines within 9:30 is what our guidelines. My thing was, I mean, it says commercial noise restrictions found in chapter 176. And then when it comes to state that audible property line of premises upon which it is being used between the hours of 9 p.m. and 8 a.m. But didn't we, with the outside entertainment permits, we changed that, correct? Should that say in here, added to noise restrictions, commercial properties to be held at 11, held till 11? That's what I'm asking.
I'm not going to answer that right now. We'll look at it again.
Plus, sir, there's been three complaints about the noise on the river. Talk to the 100 people who were there at 11 o'clock. 100. At least 70 of them are Village of Athens people who walk home because maybe they had a little too much to drink. So if we don't get our music in Athens, they'll go to Catskill and then they'll drive home. Or they'll go to Kasaki and then they'll drive home. Or to Durham and then drive home with too much to drink. The fact that the place is local and people can walk home after having a good night, to me, just makes a lot more sense. So again, out of the 100 people there on any given Friday, 70 of them are Athens people, and they're obviously not telling Rick to turn the music down at 11 o'clock. No. They're enjoying themselves. Despite three complaints, 70 people say yes. Complaints. I mean, you know.
Did we revoke your outdoor?
No, you did not. But I'm Mr. June, I do know that you haven't, but yeah. It gets to a point where it's like, really?
We can't stop a citizen from complaining.
Right. I know you cannot stop, but at that point in time, that said person was on this village board.
And as I said, did we?
No, you didn't. You didn't. I wanted it to reflect, you know, maybe commercial 11 o'clock instead.
Well, that's covered under the outdoor entertainment permit you got.
Right. But I mean, can it be represented in this?
Our biggest thing is, Rick, is that people come here and we sit and we negotiate and we come up with this formula, and then it doesn't take 2 weeks, and everybody's changing the rules. If we could agree on the rules and stick to the rules, I don't think we'd have any of this conflict.
I have to take issue. I'm going to listen to you on the Stewart House, and I take issue with that comment. On whose judgment do we break the rules? And give me examples that are specific, and not general.
Well, I'm going to move on to the law itself here. I'm not going to get into these specific situations. If you want to meet with me, I'd be glad to meet with you. Anybody else? But yeah. Roger, you're next.
I look around. I don't see too many people from 50 years ago here. Some of you antiques knew a cop was here in town, Phil Peters. He was a mayor, he was everything. He went around, did your complaints. You got a ticket for exhaust or something, go get it fixed. Why can't there be anything like that anymore in Athens? Does your police know anything, what to do? Things like that? talk to
people. I don't want to see him fixing tickets. I don't know about you.
They're not fixing tickets. I'm saying
fixing tickets.
He got stopped for somebody got stopped for exhaust. Go get the thing fixed. He'd go to somebody's house. He'd be drunk. You know, cut the nonsense. He'd go to Stewart House, Adams Hotel. Bill Garbaz kind of quieted down a little bit, and Phil went home, and the noise calmed down a little bit. There's just too many more local people around here anymore. Mm-hmm. People got to get common sense, like she says. You take the Stewart House away, you got 100 people going to go drink somewhere else, and you're going to lose money. You ain't got many jobs here now, so.
Matt? Mr. Feaster.
Yes.
My name is Matthew McLaughlin. I live at 18 North Vernon Street. I want to talk to you about what's on page A13 here. Trimming of overhanging trees and branches. I've been waiting 30 years for this. Shall be so trimmed that the lowest branches shall not be less than 10 feet from the ground. Thank you, sir.
It would be a problem if you have an 8-foot tree, but that's a different story.
I want to see that held so I can walk down these sidewalks without having to run into all these dang trees in my face.
Got any advice?
What's that?
Do you have any specific places that are in violation? Let us know.
Mostly Second Street.
You know, what was that?
Mostly, you know, it's been a long time. I mean, I've walked.
Montgomery's bad, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, every sidewalk in the town, 10 feet, great idea. I'd like to see it happen.
We try. We missed a lot of them, I'm sure. Pam, you've been patient.
I'm Chris Garvey on this. So.
Oh, there she is. Okay.
Sleepy Hollow Road in the village of Athens, 25 years. I love this lady. She is wonderful. She has good judgment. And you should have more people like her. Is that all right?
The check is in the mail.
Okay. but your codes reflect a very hostile, unfriendly place for dog owners. It was unbelievable, unbelievable. But I'm really here about kids. Owen, thank you for what you said about kids, and thank you for what you said about kids on skateboards. The only thing you should do about kids is get helmets on them. Then you have an excuse to stop them. If you can please take out all that hostile language toward children, and welcome the kids. They're the future owners of property in Sleepy Hollow and in Athens. And Athens is a fabulous place. The people coming off the little ferry that goes back and forth, they may have kids running around wild. All we need is your cops to be stopping those children, whether they look like adults. My grandson is 6'3", he's 16. And I am going to die, if anything, if he gets stopped for his skateboarding or his playing manhunt or whatever they do with these teenagers. Please give the cops some guidelines and please get that hostile language out of there. I've been paying big taxes for lakefront property, and I would really appreciate if this is not a hostile place. And when you have some extra money, with my tax dollars, build me some sidewalks so I can walk here. Because I can't get from Sleepy Hollow to here without getting hit by a car.
Everybody that wants sidewalks, the biggest issue with sidewalks is finding the money to do them. We're going to do Brick Row next year. I mean, that's probably time we get done with the drainage, I wouldn't be afraid to bet it costs us $80,000 to $85,000.
Oh, I'm kidding. That's way too much.
Yeah.
We got our sewer thing. If we're going to talk about sewer.
Give me a call on the skateboard sometime. I'll be glad to talk to you about it.
Okay, thank you.
There are some issues I'm not going to get into here, but anyway, I'd be glad to meet with you.
Okay.
Next.
All in all, bottom line, I think you should just hold on to this for a little while and get it worded correctly instead of pushing.
Okay.
Give it time. It's been like this for 100 years now.
Some
another 2 months.
Welcome comments tonight. So
I,
I think we'll probably postpone it. See if we can resolve some of the issues tonight. We'll take a look at it or just postpone them. Some things can be, you know, left pretty easily, left out of this and brought up later. But we'll talk to the attorney and see. But I wouldn't have any problems if we could just let it go. But you've got to understand that this board and me and this village government's been working on this for years. And these laws have been sitting there looking you in the face for years, too. So, you know, at some point, we have to say, no, it's not, we got to move on. We can't, there'll be new laws to argue about, there'll be new problems to try to solve. Laws evolve out of problems, usually. There's some issue that evolves and people try to solve it with some kind of a law. So, not always successfully, but that's what a lot of you people demand. Okay, we're going to move on. Are you, sir?
I'm not from Athens. I'm originally from Freehold. My name is Wynn Morrison, Wynn Morrison Realty.
Okay.
I grew up in Freehold. It was a resort town. Approximately, I'm 76 years old, and probably the oldest guy in the place here. Resort town where everybody, every night, sat around campfires or whatever at the boarding houses and sang to 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and the louder you sang, the happier everybody was. The neighbors that were not happy with the music, they closed their windows. We went on to it. This is how the little town of Freehold, population of 100 and during the wintertime and 5,000 in the summertime. That's how we grew up. And what I've tried to do myself and quite a few of the other commercial brokers in the area, we want to bring the Hudson River back to life. Places like Catskill, Coxsackie, Athens, to bring tour boats up through, cruise ships going back and forth across the river to Hudson, to have a ship pull out here in front of the on the dock in front of the Stewart House, to bring a whole bunch of people into town and to tell them they can't make any noise after 10 o'clock, or their kids that are they're on board ship can't go walking out in the street after 9 o'clock. I don't think it's a way to promote the area, and I want to do whatever I can do to improve the area, improve Hudson. I'm working over on that side of the river, and the same thing over here. I think there's a lot to be said for people having the right to be able to sing whenever they want to and as loud as they want to.
Michael, you're the last commenter here.
I had a comment.
Well, Michael's up first, then we'll give it to Sam.
In regards to the tree trimming, the trees that do belong to the village that are on the outside of the sidewalk, close to the road, trimming the branches, very important. Safety hazards, but one of the big issues that I see are the roots from these trees that are heaving the sidewalks. And I understand that it's the homeowner's responsibility to maintain the sidewalks, but the village owns the trees. There's some really hazardous sidewalks right around the corner from us. They've been like that for years, and I've been working with my neighbor to help maintain them.
About Mr. Warham?
Yeah, and we're not sure what to do, because if you cut the roots, it kills the tree. And that's not what anybody wants, but I think there should be something as to when a tree gets so large that it's a hazard, that there should be something in there, as much as trimming the branches, to remove the tree. If we could maybe address that somewhere.
Well, we do take huge trees down. It's obviously something we do at last resort, but they play a significant role in the character of the village here.
Yeah.
As far as Mr. Warham's property, that is a serious issue there. If you want to meet with me sometime over there, I'll suggest what we thought we might try doing. But it may end up with the tree coming down. And I think, I'm not sure if Mr. Warren agrees with that. I haven't got into that discussion with him. But there are several places like that where it's extremely hard to make the right decision. So, but I think your advice is well taken. Damn.
Just going back, I just wanted to say a couple more things about the skateboarding thing, which kind of ties into potential business. I mean, I'm not clear on in the here if it's saying just no skateboarding anywhere. For instance, I know at Paddleheads they've talked about like having skateboards for sale there. You know, what a common thing in communities is they perceive skateboarding as a problem, and then they don't really give the kids anywhere to go to skateboard. So just something to think about is, like, if you're going to restrict where people can or can't skateboard, then think about maybe giving them a place where they can go to skateboard.
If you remember, we actually built a skateboard park, and it was there for 2 summers. No one used it. We had to tear it down. It was such a mess. So.
Well, that was a really poorly designed skate park.
Well, they designed it. So. We gave them what they wanted.
I mean, I skateboarded on that skate park. It was horrible.
Yeah. But the for every defender of skateboarding, there's a property owner who's had their steps or their property damaged by somebody.
Oh yeah, I've had them on my property, you know.
Well, they have some rights too, you know. I'll tell you one experience I had. When I was working down the street a couple of years ago, skateboarders were going up and down 2nd Street, hanging on the back of a car. I mean, we can't tolerate that sort of thing. I don't care how nice a kid they are. It's poor choice. It's poor behavior, and it's dangerous to everybody. So, you know, we don't go out harassing them time after time. But you know, when they get out of hand, or they're like the county complains all the time about them damaging property down there, and we have to deal with that in some way, shape, or form. We don't enjoy dealing with it. We don't want to deal with it.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Guns don't kill, people do. Skateboards don't kill, idiot kids kill themselves, okay? Have the police, if they see that, have them go to the parents. I don't know if they can give the parent a ticket or not, but I mean, you know, parents have to take responsibility for their own children too. You know, so just, you know, let them know, let the parents know. I'm sure that the police let me know when my kids were growing up, if something was amiss. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. You had a lot of good comments, and we'll start. It doesn't look like we're going to pass it tonight, so I'll give you that commitment. All right with you? Okay. Thank you. We need somebody to adjourn the public hearing, please.
Okay.
I second. Bob. All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Harrigan, if there's anybody out there that can give any advice how to improve the town or how I can help improve the town and bring people here, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. We have a ferry that comes over from Hudson now.
I'm sorry?
We have a ferry that goes back and forth from Hudson.
Yeah, that's not bringing the type of people that I want here.
15-20 people every hour. Okay.
Before you switch gears, are you coming to the installation for the officers of the fire department? You are. Thank you. We know what Gail is. I sent you an email. I don't know if you've done anything. Are you coming, Bob? You are invited. This Saturday, the 4th, you can help somebody have Saturday, 5 o'clock. Yes, right. About 8 o'clock. Very good. Call me if you're not comfortable. Yes. I've talked to him twice now.